to Romans chapter 5. I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird. But man, we get singing those songs. It just picks me up. It moves my heart, my soul. I tell you what, that's what we need. That once you've worshipped, then you're ready to hear God's Word. If you're sitting back here critiquing the worship leader or the choir or the person's hair in front of you, you're not ready to hear the Word of God. All right, well, last time we looked and we saw in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 that we have peace with God. That is not saying that we have the peace of God. It is saying we have peace with God. And what that means is that previous to this, before this, we were separated from God. We were not close to God. We didn't have fellowship with God. We didn't have a relationship with God. We were separated by our sin. And so the Bible tells us that as a result of that, before we came to Christ, we were the enemies of God. The Bible simply tells us, and you today, each one of us sitting here, either you are a child of God, and God is your Father, and you're a servant of Christ, or you are a child of the devil. I mean, I hate to prick your little bubble and you know, make you feel all uncomfortable today, but if you don't know Jesus, you are not for God, you're against God. Amen. And most people would say, oh, no, preacher. I'm just kind of in the middle. I'm just kind of neutral. I'm just kind of waiting to see which way it goes. Then I'll pick my side. Well, good luck with that. You're going to need more than luck. But you already have the opportunity to be reconciled to God. You see, when two people are out of sorts with one another, there has to be a reconciliation. There has to be healing of that brokenness in the relationship. And it's called reconciliation. And we need that between ourselves. Husbands and wives need that. Friends sometimes, even good friends, even best friends, sometimes need reconciliation. Children and their parents, parents and their children, we need reconciliation. We need healing of the brokenness in our relationships. But if there's one thing that we desperately need, it is healing of the brokenness of our relationship between us and God. Because today, we, apart from Christ, we are separated from God. And we don't have His peace. We don't have His peace. And if you noticed on the front cover of your bulletin this morning, it had the scripture that says, "For He is our peace." Well, look, Jesus has done everything so that you can have peace with God. And if you do not have peace with God, it is because you are not saved. It is because you are under the wrath of God, because you have not yet believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:18. So, you know, it's not because you smoke, it's not because you drink, it's not because you cuss, it's not because you sin, it's because you have not believed in Jesus Christ. And when you come to Christ, Christ will give you peace with Him, and He will set you free from these things that are holding you back from Him today. Well, we have peace with God, Paul says, because Christ has reconciled us to Himself. And He is our peace. So now that we have His peace, Let's look at the next step here. Because we're given in this second verse another important part, essential part to who we are in Christ. Okay? And one of the challenges today is to look at this Christian life and to figure it out and to say, okay, what is this thing supposed to look like? You know, it's sort of like working a puzzle when you don't have the box lid. You ever do that? You know, and you're not even sure what this is supposed to look like. And you put this piece, no, that, and you know, it's just kind of hard to figure out. Well, one of the things that we want to do and we will do as we come to the Scriptures is we will begin to see what this is supposed to look like. Okay? And people will let you down. Preachers will let you down. Churches will let you down. Denominations will let you down. But the Lord will never let you down. And keep your eyes on Him in this whole process and all will be well. Let's look together in verse 2. If you found your place and caught your breath, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word? Romans chapter 5. And we'll pick it up in verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this grace in which we stand today. And I pray You'll speak to our hearts and move within us today. Speak to us. Help us, Lord, to hear Your voice. And I pray for anyone here who doesn't know You, give them grace, Lord, to say yes. To open their heart, to surrender, to quit fighting, and to give You their heart and their life. Father, we thank You. We love You, Lord. We worship You this morning. And we pray together in the precious, mighty, powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, notice what this says here. Paul says, by whom also we have access. We have access by faith into this grace. Well, you know, let's think about access. I went to this ball game last night, and it was a funny thing. When we walked into the stadium, they expected that each one of us would have a ticket. And without that ticket, you're not getting into the stadium. It's not happening. And folks, when it comes to the things of God, you don't have access to the things of God unless you've been given access. Unless you've been given a ticket into His presence. And it doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen just because you pray. You know, people will say, oh, well, I pray. I pray every day. You know, I'm glad that you pray every day. But you know what? If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have access to the throne room of God. That's as simple as I know how to put it. And if you want to have access, well, we've got to understand a little bit. Notice a couple things with me. First of all, just the distance. I mean, sometimes we wonder, you know, we look up into the skies at night, and we think about heaven, and Lord, where is heaven? How far is heaven? What's the distance of heaven? Well, I want to tell you, it's a long, long way for sinful man to heaven. In fact, it's a place that you and I cannot get. Psalm 24, verse 3 says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. You see, not everybody can enter into the presence of God. I mean, I know in this day and age that we live, where everybody gets a trophy, everybody's a winner. Folks, not everybody wins. Not everybody is going to heaven. Get that in your mind, get over it, and realize there is one way into heaven. There's one way of access. In Psalm 130, verse 3, it says, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" And He does mark iniquities, but thankfully He goes on to say, "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." You know, there's a scripture in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, that gives us a picture into the end times here, and the picture of condition of mankind in that moment when the end is about to fall. Notice with me chapter 6 and verse 12. Revelation 6:12 says, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Well, I'm going to tell you, no one is able to stand before God without the Lord Jesus Christ. Without His help. Without His aid, without His salvation, no one can stand. And that's a horrifying, horrible moment. And folks, what we see today is we see a nation of people whose hearts are given over to everything but the things of God. Scripture says, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." But how many people do you see today hungering and thirsting after the righteousness of God? How many people, even Christian people, how many people do you see who are hungering and thirsting for God? What's more of Him? We went to this ball game last night. It just grieved my heart. Not the ball game. Just the game. We had fun. But you know what? It grieved my heart to see young people walking up with T-shirts on with four-letter words. And I don't mean just, you know, minor stuff. I mean as bad a language as you can use, putting it right across their chest, right on their back, proudly displaying it. The young man who sat beside me, bless his heart, I've prayed for him. He's drinking whiskey from his bottle, and he's yelling profanities and for all the rest of us, I guess, because we weren't smart enough to curse and use that foul language like he was doing. And the guys behind me, two older men, and they were sitting there almost the whole game, and they kept talking, and you know, I wasn't trying to listen to their conversation, but I couldn't help but overhear some of it. And they kept saying, "Well, you know, it's third and one. I think they ought to do this." And I'm looking at the game, I'm going, "It's not third and one. We got a first and ten. What's the deal?" They were at the Razorback game, and they were watching LSU or somebody, you know, Tennessee in their game. Because they had money riding on it. And that was all they were talking about the whole game. Because they had this money bet, and they'd bet on Stanford in this game, and they'd done this, and all this stuff. Folks, where we're at is we're in a mess today. I mean, and you don't have to look far to see it. Just open up your eyes and begin to look, and you'll understand we don't have access to the throne room of God. If we as a people, as we as an American people, are called with a Great Depression like we had in the 30s, what do you think will happen? I can tell you what will happen. We will be boarded up in our homes with a shotgun trying to hold on to what we have because other people who don't have something will be coming trying to take it from us. Why? Because we don't have the character that those people in the 30s had. We don't have the character to go stand in a soup line. We don't have the character to go work for the WPA or the CCC. We don't have the character to do the right things today. And it's sad to see that. It's sad to say that. But that's where we are, folks. And if we're faced with another great war, we can't even decide if we're going to honor the flag. We can't decide which bathroom we're supposed to use. Come on. How are we going to stand? We can't stand before God. We can't stand anywhere. Well, there is one who can enter the presence of God. And He does do that for us. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the time of Israel, they had the temple. They would come to the temple, but you know, the people, first off, surrounding the temple was called the court of the Gentiles. And that was as close as the Gentiles could come. They could not enter into the interior courtyards. Now, the women had a special place that was reserved for them, the court of women. And then the men had another area that they could go into. And they would go in there to pray. They would go in there to seek God. But none of them could go to the holy place. And the priest could go into the holy place. They could go in there to replace the showbread on the table. They could go in there to fill the candlestick with oil and keep it burning. They could go in there to burn incense each day at the time of prayer. They would go in and burn incense. They would take turns and doing that, and it was a special honor. But that was going into the holy place. Only one person could go into the Holy of Holies, the holiest place where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the presence of God met with His people. And that was only the high priest on the Day of Atonement. You may have noticed and had a note in the bulletin about the Day of Atonement. It's coming up this week on our calendar. Well, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would sacrifice a bull for his own sins and for his household and sprinkle that upon the mercy seat. And he would sacrifice a goat, and he would sacrifice that goat and take the blood and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat over the Ark of the Covenant for the sins of all the people. And the Bible says that the high priest wore bells on the tassel of his garment, on the edges, the hem of his garment, he wore bells. And as long as you could hear those bells, you knew that God hadn't struck him dead. Now, some have said that they tied a rope to him where they could haul his carcass out of there if God did strike him dead. I've never been able to substantiate that. I don't know if that's true or not. But, folks, you can't just go wandering into the presence of God. In fact, to the Jewish way of thinking, access to the presence of God, that was unheard of. It was not even something they would think about. Why? Because on Mount Sinai, God told Moses, said, make sure these people are way back from the mountain. Don't let them get near. And I mean, there was rumblings and thunders and smoke and all this on top of that mountain. And everybody was trying to get as far away from that mountain as they could. They said, well, you go meet with God and then come back and tell us. That's fine. We don't mind. Really. Folks, access with God is, well, you know, you'll permit me, you don't just wander into the throne room of God. You don't just go into the throne room of God and have access to who He is and all that He is. But here is the amazing thing that happens in what Jesus has done for us. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51, it tells us, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, rent in two, from top to bottom. And the earth did quake, the rocks rent. I mean, you know, all that other stuff was going on too. But here's the big thing. Jesus died on that cross On Black Friday, we sometimes refer to it. It was a dark day, but it was a wonderful day. Because on that day, God, when Jesus died and He paid the price for my sin and for your sin and for the sins of the whole world, God took that veil. That veil symbolized sin. It symbolized separation from God. Take a moment. Take a piece of paper in your hand. Grab a bulletin or something and just take a moment and put that between your fingers. Yeah, very good, Linda. You can do this for Garland too, okay? Some of you ladies, help your husbands out if needed. All right, we're going to let this piece of paper represent sin. All right, we're going to let these fingers represent us and God. All right, but when you have sin in your life, when you have sin in your heart, here's what happens. You are separated from God. You cannot come to Him. You cannot just turn to Him in a moment of need or crisis and cry out to Him and expect that He's going to answer, He's going to help you. Because you're separated from Him. But folks, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, what God did is God took away the veil. God took away the sin. God took that away from you so that now you are able to have fellowship with God. You're able to have a relationship. You're able to pray. You're able to seek Him. You're able to pour out your heart in moments of need. And He hears you. You have access now to the throne room of God. And I don't know if you appreciate that, but it's amazing. And it's only through Jesus. And it's always interesting to me that God tore the veil from top to bottom. You know, if He had torn it from the bottom to the top, then that high priest would have come in there and said, "Oh, some vandal's gotten in here, some criminal." But it was torn from the top, beginning at the top and down to the bottom, so that there was no mistaking who did it. And what God was saying is that I have accepted the sacrifice that my Son has given. And sins are atoned for. That was the day of atonement. And our sins were atoned for. So, as a result of that, Jesus said these words to them. In John chapter 10, verse 7, He said, "Then said Jesus to them again, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." We are saved through Jesus Christ. You say, what is that saved thing about? It means we are rescued from our sins. We are saved from our sins. We're forgiven. We're taken from the place of penalty of sin, of being in a place of death, and we're given life. Amen. We have something today that is unique. We have life given to us from God and by God. Jesus went on in John 14, verse 4, when He was speaking to Thomas. He said, Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so, there are not many gods that you can seek to follow and gain heaven through. There are not many paths that you can trod down that will lead you to heaven's gate. There's one. There's one name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's one, and it's Jesus Christ. And He has become our peace. He is our justification. He is our life. And we have gained access. In Romans 5:2, that word access, it means privilege of approach. It means the act of bringing to. So we have been brought into the presence of God. Have you ever walked up to a door? and you didn't know what was on the other side, and you reached out for that doorknob, and you're a little uncertain, and you start to open it up, and you're trying to see. I only ask you to take this trip with me for just a moment and imagine that you and I have been granted access to the very throne of God, to the throne of grace. And so today we have come to the door. Now, Jesus is our door. Amen. Jesus is the one who gets us in.
Amen.
Okay? But as we enter that door, as we enter into Christ, the Bible says that now we stand in grace. And as we approach the throne of God, we don't come as an interloper. We didn't climb over the wall. We didn't get in some other way. We didn't find a loophole. We came through Jesus Christ. And because of that, we've been granted access.
Amen.
We've been given this right to come to God. And it is an awesome, awesome thing. I don't know if you can quite grasp the thought and get that picture in your mind. And I can't picture the throne. I just can't. Even with what I've read in Revelation about the throne of God and how glorious it is and amazing it is. I'm not sure, but yet Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18 tells us, it says, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Same word. And in Ephesians 3:12, it says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him." Same word. We have access today. For Christ, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." We've been given access to God. Well, so here's what we come down to. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 tells us, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say, His flesh. "And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." We have been given this amazing privilege to access the very throne of God, to come before Him and to bring all of our needs.
Hallelujah.
Everything. What did Sandy say? "He knows my name. He knows my every thought." Well, this God who knows your name and who knows everything about you, good, bad, and indifferent, if you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb today, you have been given access to the throne of God. And He invites you today to come to Him. He invites you. And it's not just on Sundays when we get together in church. It's every day. You can come, but you ever had somebody just come busting through your door, maybe unexpectedly, maybe a big teenager or I don't know. You know, you don't just come busting through the door into God's presence and very casually and, oh, hey, God. I mean, look, when you come into the presence of Almighty God, we've been told to come boldly. But I don't think that we should at all come presumptuously. We need to come humbly, because we've been given great privilege. It is privilege to approach God. You know, sometimes you'll see in the movies, or sometimes in real life, you'll see people, you know, when they're in the presence of a king or a queen, and they're granted the opportunity to come and to display their loyalty, their allegiance to their king. Sometimes they'll kiss the ring. They'll, you know, bow their knee. They'll get on their knee before him and confess that he is their king. Well, today as we come to the throne of God, I want to encourage you. We don't just come casually. We don't just come with no purpose and no reason. We come boldly because we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and made clean. But we also come with the burden that all around us are people. You know, I wasn't mad at this guy sitting beside me who was yelling profanities and obscenities and cursing at the ball game yesterday. I wasn't mad at him. I was grieved for him. When we got behind, he said, "Man, I got to go get some beer. This just isn't working for me." I'm going to tell you, man, the beer won't work either. Sports won't work. Alcohol won't work. Women won't work. Men, nothing will help. The only thing that will set us free is Christ. I want to encourage you today. If you're not saved, receive Him. Open your heart to Him. Trust Him. Believe Him. Be saved. Surrender today. If today you know Him, then understand you have a precious privilege of access. And that is not just for you alone, but that is so that you can pray for that guy sitting beside you who is so lost and doesn't have a clue. That's so that you can pray for your son or your daughter who's in such need. That's so you can pray for your husband or your wife. That's so you can pray for your friend. You can pray for your neighbor. You can pray for the people around you who are so lost. And our nation, it's everywhere we look. We see the evidences of it. I'll invite you today just to bow your head with me. And if you're saved, if you know Christ, then I want to invite you to take this moment and to enter into the presence of God. Not arrogantly, not presumptuously, not with anything about you even, but that everything is about Christ. Everything is about Him, because we enter through the veil of His flesh. We come into the presence of God through His blood that He shed on the cross for our sins. And it is a shattering thing to understand that we're nothing. We're nobody. We have no reason and no right to come into God's presence. But we've been given. We've been given this opportunity. I want to invite you, Christian, to come to the throne of God, to open that door, and to humbly bow before your King and acknowledge Him, and then to bring all of your concerns, your prayers, your petitions, the things that are on your heart. Bring them to Him today. There's sin in your life, confess it. Confess it. Be cleansed of it. If your life is full of crud and dirt, filth, ask God to clean it. He is faithful, just, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Come on, give it to Him. And if you're here today and you're not saved, I want to invite you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Because one day you will enter the very throne room of God. One day you will stand before Him and you will see Him with your own eyes. And in that day, either you will have already bowed the knee and confessed Him as Lord and Savior, and you received Him and was forgiven of your sins, and you have eternity in heaven to look forward to, or you will stand before Him lost and undone. And there will be no excuses on that day. There will be no second chances. It's a sad day. I want to invite you, if that's you, to turn your heart to Christ today. Quit fighting. Receive Him. Christian, this altar's here if you need to come. You make an altar where you are. My lost friend, if you're here and you want to be saved, I just invite you to come. Take my hand. Say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to know. I don't want to live in doubt. I don't want to be afraid anymore. I'd love to share with you, help you to just open your heart to Christ. Father, I pray for every person in this room. Give us grace today, Lord, to just trust, Father. Just trust You. Lord, for that person who doesn't know You, Lord, would You speak to their heart? Would You unsettle their heart and their mind? Help them to understand that this is real, that You are true, and this is what they need. Father, help them not to settle for some cheap substitute. Father, give them grace to say yes. Father, give us as Christians just the willingness to come to Your very throne, to seek Your face.